We're in a series on Don't Lose Heart. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians is telling us if there's ever a man that would quit, it would have been the Apostle Paul. And what we're looking at is four reasons why we don't quit. And they're all right from the words of the Apostle Paul, the Word of God. And we saw last week that we don't quit because we have a glorious ministry in verses 1 through 6. And then today we're going to look at, and by the way, that glorious ministry is the gospel, the new covenant of Jesus Christ. And today we're going to see that we don't quit because we have a treasure in earthen vessels. We don't lose heart, we don't quit, and we don't give up. And this section is based on verse 1 and verse 16 of chapter 4. Note that with me. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Look in verse 16. For which cause we faint not, Paul says. That word faint not there is, it talks about losing heart. It talks about giving up. And there's many reasons why as we look at our world today. And Brother Glenn, I appreciate that Sunday school lesson in Proverbs today. It really defined the family today and the churches and America and why we're in the shape we're in. And I appreciate that. But we don't give up because we have a treasure in earthen vessels. Let's begin reading in verse 6 and go through the end of the preaching text in chapter 4. Stand with me, if you will, for the reading of God's word. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God may be of God and not us. We are troubled on every side, yet not perplexed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always ready, are always delivered up unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We don't quit because we have a treasure in earthen vessels. Father, I pray as I have interpreted this text this past week and have put this message together, I pray you speak to our hearts. Let people know today how valuable that treasure is that God has placed in their clay pot. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Notice verse 7 again. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We heard that earlier in chapter 4, verse 1. We have this treasure. Now, what is this treasure? Well, you find it in verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It is the light of the gospel that displays the glory of the Son, Jesus Christ. That's the treasure that we have in us. We're walking around with that right now. And we are nothing more than vessels. We are, in fact, the word means clay pots. When I was visiting with Jim Johns at the visitation the other day, I was the first one there. I'm always the first one there. And that's why I'm going to be first in the rapture. I'm always first. But as I was visiting, when I walked down there to him, and they had the casket closed, and he says, "She's not here, Brother Ken. That's just the vessel." I said, "Wow, you just gave me affirmation of what I'm preaching on Sunday. Vessels, that's all we are. Clay pots. And it is what's in this clay pot that gives the vessel its worth. The Greek word means baked clay. That's all we are. Adam, the word means red. He was created out of the red clay of Georgia clay. Amen? Amen. And he was created out of the dirt. Clay pots, that's all we are. You have a lot of people walking around thinking they're more valuable than what they are, right? Yeah. We're just clay pots. Pots were cheap, breakable, replaceable, but they served a necessary household functions. And what makes it valuable is the treasure that's placed within us. So what I want to do this morning is to share with you four lessons that we can learn from clay pots or from vessels. Four lessons that we can learn. And we're going to talk about the vessel this morning. First of all, in verse 7, the vessel is made by God so he can use us. God has made you the way he's made you because he knows you, he created you, and he made you the way he made you so that you can be usable, right? Now, we often say, well, I wish God had given me other abilities. I wish God had given me certain spiritual gifts. I wish I didn't have certain handicaps. I wish my stature were a little different. I was taller or shorter or whatever, but I'm glad that God made me short, because as I look at the Old Testament, Brother Glenn, I see that all the tall people in the Bible were wicked, right? So I'm glad that I am the right size that I am. Maybe some people say, well, I wish I had more mental capacity, more mental abilities. I wish I was different. But listen, God created you just like you are, so he could use you, okay? We should never question how God made us because of our lack of abilities, gifts, handicaps, stature, or mental abilities. You know, to him that is given much, there is required more, right? Maybe God knows that if I look like Joel Osteen, I couldn't handle it, right? So he made it up by giving me sound doctrine, amen? I mean, I wouldn't give up. I wouldn't want a mouth of pearly white teeth and black hair and preach a false gospel, right? I'm glad he's made me the way I am. Psalms 139. This is one of the great passages in the Bible dealing with the sanctity of life. For thou hast, beginning in verse 13, going through 16, for thou hast possessed my reins. In other words, God, it's you that has formed me and covers me in my mother's womb. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Life didn't begin at birth. It begins at conception, right? Amen. God is forming the baby in the womb. And I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. My substance is not hid from thee. When I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth, speaking of the womb, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, yet fully formed and fully made and complete. God knew our substance. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. You know, I'm told that women in the pregnancy centers, when they go for an ultrasound, and they actually see that there's a baby inside of them and not a mass or a blob or some slime, that 80% of the mothers who have an ultrasound keep the baby. I am glad that the pregnancy center here in Thomasville and Cairo have an ultrasound. You know, and I appreciate us, people like us, who gave the money that they may be able to get that. And so I'm thinking that next time I see the director of the pregnancy center, I'm going to say, yes, the ultrasound is good, but have someone sitting there beside them while they're looking at the ultrasound and reading Psalms 139, right? I think that would go a long way, don't you? So the vessel is made by God, and he wants to use you the way he made you. And when I die, I'm going to go out of this life the way that God made me. I'm not going to have 800 facelifts. I'm not going to have this. I'm not going to have that. I'm going to go out the same way God brought me in, right? I'm going to go out bald with no teeth, right, when that happens. Second lesson we can learn from a vessel here, if we are have a treasure in earthen vessels, is verse 7, we must be clean and empty and available. We must be clean, empty, and available. For the treasure to have its full benefit in your clay pot, you got to be empty of self, right? And you got to be clean. You got to be available. Look in the latter part of verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The vessel must be clean, empty, and available. Paul said it this way in 2 Timothy 2:21, we must become a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Sanctified. Now, when you got saved, you were sanctified. That's your position. But sanctification is also a process. I was sanctified, I'm being sanctified, I will be sanctified. You don't wait till you get to heaven to be sanctified. You, at that moment, when you profess Christ, repented of your sins, and believed in Jesus Christ, you are set apart for the Master's use, right? At that very moment. And then begins the lifelong process of becoming more like Jesus. By using clay pots, God makes it clear that salvation is the result of his power and his messengers, and not of the messenger, right? The way some of these preachers strut around, you know, as someone said, they could strut sitting down. The way you see them brag about their ministry and brag about this and brag about that, you know, you wonder who's getting the glory in all this, right? The vessel never gets the glory. It's the treasure that's in the vessel, right? And we are vessels so God can use us. We are earthen vessels that he might depend on God's power and not on us. You see, if I tried to do the work of the Lord in the flesh, I would get nowhere, right? And we are guilty of that, right? We try to do it of us and not the treasure that's within us. The focus must be on the treasure, not on the vessel, and the master, not on the servant, right? When that potter makes that vessel, he shapes it and molds it just like he knows what he wants to use it for. So he shapes it and molds it for what he's going to use it for. And that's what God did for us. And also, he shapes and uses that vessel. He don't put anything else in that vessel other than what he wants to put in that vessel. And we as believers have the treasure in earthen vessels. And it must be empty and clean and available. And it burns my heart as I see God's people today. Yes, they may realize that they have a treasure in earthen vessels, but they cram full of that vessel of all the things of the world, right? And God can't use them like he wants to. You cannot serve both God and mammon. You cannot serve two masters. And our choices reveal which master we serve, right? So keep the vessel empty, if you will. So we are vessels so God can use us. We are earthen vessels so that we might depend on God's power and not on us. Again, the focus is on the master, not on the servant. So the vessel must be clean. It must be empty. It must be available. But then thirdly, the vessel must be weak so God can be glorified. This is very similar to what I just told you. Notice verse 8 through 11. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I wonder if we could say that. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. I believe God will guard the vessel. He will guard the believer in suffering and trials just as he guards the treasure. 1 Timothy 1:11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which hath committed to me my trust. See, God has given us the most valuable thing on earth, and that's the gospel of his son. And we've been entrusted with it to share it with other people. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20, he said it this way, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. So God permits trials in our life. Y'all believe that, right? Don't blame your trials some can be blamed on us because of bad choices. But God is the one who permits trials in our life. Don't blame your trial on Satan per se, because God is sending a trial in your life because he's wanting to do a work with the vessel. Now, so if God permits trials, then it means God controls the trials. He knows exactly how much you can bear up under, right? And in fact, I forgot the passage in Corinthians where Paul says, he will not put on us no more than what we can bear. People stop right there. Well, he sure loaded my wagon, but they stop right, but they don't go in the rest of the verse and says, except he'll give you a way of escape, right? You see it? If you're going through a trial and you're having a hard time, how about depending on Jesus? Amen? That's the way he's given us. We put Jesus on display by our suffering and weakness. We think if we're strutting along and everything's going along just fine and we got this and we got that, hey, that we're really showing that God is good. No, you really show God is good when you're suffering for Christ. Amen? You see, unless the vessel is broken, it cannot let out the aroma of the gospel. Are you following me? Note the paradoxes in this passage that I'm looking at. Verse 7, earthen vessel, power of God. Verse 10, the dying of Jesus, the life of Jesus. Verse 12, death working, life working. Paul said it this way in one of my favorite passages of Scripture that's often taken out of context in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 through 10. You know what I'm about to read. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Whatever you believe that thorn in the flesh was, God didn't really tell us because we'd all be trying to get it so we could be super spiritual like Paul. God didn't tell it. I have an idea what I believe, and my idea does not match yours, I can assure you. He said this. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. But God, I want to be healed, right? God, aren't you a healing God? Yes, he is. But he may be wanting to take you home to glory. But he has promised us to give the grace that is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. See, notice what Paul said. Most gladly, therefore, I will glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. See, we're thinking like the world, that the power of Christ is only resting upon you when you're healthy. No, the power of Christ is when you're weak, right? And when you're suffering. When can we put Christ on display? Is it through our sufferings or through our blessings, right? We put him on display through our sufferings to a lost world. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Wow, he must not have been a Baptist. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So the vessel is made to be weak, so God gets the glory. And then the fourth lesson I want to share with you about vessels is found in verse 10 through 12. The vessel suffers for the master. The vessel suffers. Look in verse 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, but that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, now notice this, but life in you. At the time we are suffering and going through hardships and persecutions, it's working a death in us, but for those that we're witnessing to, it is life in you, right? They see life. We suffer, when we suffer it is for the sake of Jesus. Let me give you some paradoxes here again. If we die to self, it is so that the life of Christ might be revealed in us. God reveals himself in a crucified life that is denied self, pick up the cross daily, and follow him. God's not going to reveal himself if someone's still alive to self, right? It is when we deny ourselves, take up his cross, and follow him. If we go through trials, it is that Christ might be glorified. This is one thing I pray. When people are suffering, when I'm suffering, I say, God, I don't know what you're doing here, but I know you want to put yourself on display, and I want you to make me better, and I want you to be glorified through this, and your will and purpose be accomplished, right? How many of us pray that? What do we pray? God, you're always good, and I know you're going to heal me. Listen, whether God heals you or not, he's still good. Amen?
Amen. That's right.
And we build a theology in the church that says God's only good when it's going my way. And that's not the case at all.
Right.
All of this is for the sake of others, that we serve Christ. Death works in us, but life works in those whom we minister to. Those who hate Jesus will take their vengeance on those who represent him. I hate to minimize the gospel this way, but The reason why they persecute you when you penetrate darkness, when you penetrate darkness, is because they hate the one that sent you.
Right.
Now, if you're not going to witness and you ain't going to stand up for abortion as murder, or you're not going to stand up for same sex is wrong as sin, if you ain't going to stand up for the righteousness and the things of God, you're not going to be persecuted. What's the best way not to get persecuted? That is to be a part of the frozen chosen, right? I'm telling you, when you stand up for righteousness, and I put that, I don't want to minimize the gospel, but why do they hate Trump supporters? Because of one that represents, right? Why do they hate him so much? Because he's for life, not abortion. He's not for same sex. He's for Israel, right? He's pro-Christian liberty, right? What's the another one, Brother Glenn?
Pro-family,
right? That's why the world hates him. I'll throw all his hair and all that stuff out the window. They hate him because of his stance on what we believe. That's why they hate him. And if you're not a Trump supporter this morning, I won't be praying for you. Okay? But I'm telling you, we need to take a stand for righteousness. And when we do, the Bible says that they do it because they hate us. Right? And by the way, lost people, they don't worry about none of this because they have no treasure to share. They have nothing in their vessel except the world and self and hedonism and materialism and my way or the highway, right? You know what all the world wants, and you spoke about that excellent this morning in Proverbs chapter 1. The reason why the world is like it is, and I want to help give you a synopsis of that, Glenn said there's no fear of God. The Bible said that in Proverbs. Why? Because there's no fear and honor of their mother and father in the home. And they can't submit to their mother and father because there's no fear of God. And there's no fear of the police. There's no fear of the establishment society that God has placed that we ought to honor, right? And this is why our nation is like it is, because you have a bunch of basement millennials out there that have never showed respect to their mother or father, right? And therefore, they're not going to show respect to us, and they're going to show respect to the nation, right? And that's why we're in the shape that we're in. Did you see on the news the other night when they got one of these Antifa guys cornered, and they were going to arrest him? Now, this is a classic example. You know what he did? He didn't fight back. He didn't run. He fell on the ground and balled up in a fetal position and started crying. That's who is out there on the streets. And the reason why they're out there on the streets is because there's never been any respect for their mother or father.
That's right.
And I'm telling you, there's a lot of mothers and fathers that have not taught them about showing respect, right?
That's right.
I remember I used to say, I'll never be a school bus driver. But when I became a preacher, I saw that, it'd be okay to be a school bus driver now. You know, because I said, I just dump all them kids off, I throw them off the bridge, and when they started hollering and all that stuff, you know? You know, what's so bad by stopping the bus and saying, you walk home, right? They do that now? Amen. But you know what? There was a day, and I hate to keep saying this, when if I got on trouble with the bus, my mama and daddy already knew about it, and they met me at the corner of Lightfoot's grocery store about a half a block from where I lived.
Yeah.
Today, if you somehow hurt little Johnny and Mary's feelings on the school bus, the next day the mother will meet you on the school bus and threaten your life,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the society we live in, yeah. Right? And he says it very plainly here. We are a chosen vessel. Paul was chosen. And we are chosen. He was chosen to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And you and I are take this treasure, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he mentions again, this glorious ministry, and we're to share it with other people. Will they listen? Will they not listen? We're to share it, right? That's our job. So the vessel suffers for the master. Go back to verse 5 and 6. I'm going to read this and then we're gone. For we preach not ourselves like the Judaizers. That's what Paul's saying. But Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. You know that word servant there? It means slave, really. And a lot of translations don't translate it like that because they're afraid of what people are going to say about it. But we are slaves to Jesus Christ. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, talking about physical light, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is the ministry that has been placed in our clay pots. And that's all we are, clay pots. But praise God, one day he's going to take that clay pot at the resurrection and make us a glorious vessel, right? Have a body like Jesus forever and forever and forever. Then I might be 6'2" with blue eyes, right? I'm going to do a study very soon on 1 Corinthians 15 about what your resurrection body will be like. None of us will recognize ourselves, per se, right? I'm looking forward to heaven. We'll be in church. Nobody making the decision, should we go to the church or the beach today? Should we go to the mountains or the church? Should we go this or that? No. We'll be in church forever and forever and forever. Amen?
Amen.
When we get to heaven. I can't wait. Come get me COVID, you know? I can't wait to go to heaven. Father, as our magicians come this morning, help us to understand these vessels and what they're about. We go through life trying to paint up the vessel, trying to reorganize the vessel, trying to improve this vessel. But Lord, we're just a vessel. We're broken, expendable, with the gospel of Jesus Christ within us. And so, Father, if there's one here without Jesus this morning, the altar's open. You come. Say, Pastor, I want to be saved today. Pastor, I want to rededicate my life. Maybe you're here and your membership is somewhere else, and this is where you get fed, and you say, Pastor, I want to unite with Trinity Baptist Church today. Maybe you want to come to this altar and pray for someone else. I want to give you that opportunity to do that. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.